Welcome to a Frugal Athlete podcast, where we interview athletes, both current and former, on the prudent financial practices and smart career decisions they are making. In these episodes, we dive into what it means to be a frugal athlete. You might think that frugal just means being cheap, but as you will soon learn, being frugal is more complex than that. Hey, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of a Frugal Athlete podcast. Today, we got a very special guest, Mr. Justin Henderson. So Justin was someone that I was able to witness speak at the Athletes Unite in Atlanta, Georgia. So shout out to Classy. And Justin had a great story and just had a great message with, you know, some of the stuff that he's doing, which we're all going to get into shortly. And then I immediately kind of pulled up on him and was like, yo, got to get you on the Frugal Athlete podcast. And he was obliging, and now here we are. But Justin, welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm amazing, man. How about yourself?
Nah, doing well. And once again, thank you for making this happen. I know it's been a while since we put this on, like planted the seed, but we were able to get it done. But the folks that weren't able to witness your workshop, your speaking engagement, what's your story?
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, again, thank you for having me. It's definitely a pleasure, man. Great to see you again. You know, I'm from North Carolina. I always tell people my last name is where I'm from. So I'm from Henderson, North Carolina.
Originally. Oh, okay.
And so started with Enterprise in 2010, but I'll backtrack a little bit. So I played football, basketball, baseball, ran track in high school, and then I played football in college. So I went to UNC Chapel Hill, graduated in 2008 with an exercise and sports science degree. I played football. I always tell people, you can look up my picture, but there's no stats. So, you know, I didn't really get much playing time, but it was a great experience, man. And both my parents were at UNC, so it was definitely, you know, kind of in my blood. But it stumbled upon Enterprise in 2010. We have our management trainee program, which kind of, you know, teaches people how to run a business. And we actually hire, you know, more college athletes and recent college grads than anybody. So it kind of fit perfectly, you know, with what I was looking for. And 12 and a half years later, here we are, man. So I spent almost 10 years in the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina market. And then I spent a little bit of time in Oregon and now obviously the Tampa St. Pete market, specifically for the talent acquisition department.
So coming out of college, UNC, one of the premier programs for student athletes, did you know what you wanted to do, or did Enterprise come calling to you?
So it's actually random, man. You know, you've heard, you know, now how important networking is. That's what we've been doing. That's why we're linking now, right? And so I actually found about Enterprise really through indirect networking. So my pops rents cars all the time for business, and he had heard about the management training program. And, you know, I was kind of in between. I was coaching and teaching at my old high school, but didn't really have a passion for the teaching part of it. I love coaching, but teaching wasn't in my blood. And so he knew that I was looking for other opportunities and, you know, was like, hey, man, you know, every time I go in, they seem professional. You know, they seem like they're career oriented. You know, they seem like they're polished. And, you know, he felt like it was something that I would actually enjoy and I could kind of assimilate into. And so long story short, it was on his recommendation that I apply for Enterprise. And we had an Enterprise in my hometown, literally like a 2-minute walk from my parents' house. But I didn't know the global nature of the company. Right. And so I was just applying on a whim, just like all of the other jobs. But luckily enough, they said yes. And I chose them. And, you know, 12 and a half years later, man, here we are.
That's amazing. And you spoke about Enterprise being a company that values student athletes, that values collegiate athletes, that values just the athlete mentality. Why is that? And what have you seen, you know, from the athletes that do work at Enterprise be successful?
Yeah. So, I mean, it is really similar, man. It's obviously not a locker room environment, but it's all about like some of the skills that athletes learn that are super transferable into business and specifically, you know, our organization, man. And so I like to call it like collaboration and competition, which is sports, right? You want to win the team championship, but you want to score the game with a touchdown too, right? And so, you know, doing whatever you can to help the team win, competing with your teammates, competing obviously against other, you know, teams, but then trying to do whatever you can to win and have your own individual performance spring board off of that team performance. And so that's what environment Enterprise really, you know, allows to have happen as well, man. It's all about the team first and foremost. You know, our mission statement is take care of our customers and employees and growth and profits will follow. And so, you know, we in the people business, we want to take care of the people. We want to train and develop them. We want to challenge them, right, in terms of our employees, provide excellent customer service and then give them that platform for growth. And, you know, in sports, typically the best players get the most playing time. The best players get the accolades. And so, you know, if you're able to do well with an Enterprise, you get rewarded. So I think it's something that personally I was able to identify with coming from, you know, the football field and athletics my whole life. Because if you deserve to win, you're going to win. And it's, you know, really a simple program.
Do you have like any transferable skills that you're willing to share that helped you specifically as you transition into your post-career?
Absolutely, man. I think one of the biggest things that it's simple, but a lot of times people skip this step is work ethic, man. You know, not everybody necessarily has work ethic in everything they do, right? And so I think the key for an athlete is to understand that that work ethic that you had in sports is the same exact work ethic, if not even a greater level, that you need to have transitioning into the professional world. And so I think that's something that I was able to do, kind of having that willingness to do whatever it takes. But then some of the other things that are kind of obvious, right? Like, you know, ability to be a great teammate, you know, communication skills. Obviously, competitiveness, I think, is huge because, you know, you got to be able to have a willingness to kind of extend yourself to be able to have that success. You know, so I think leadership, right, is super huge as well. Whatever you can do to really kind of show those skills are going to be huge. But work ethic is that one that I do think sometimes people forget about.
Really important. And I think that's why, you know, not only enterprise, but a lot of companies in the corporate space love athletes because they're willing to, you know, run through a brick wall to get the job done. As it pertains to, you know, your transition, obviously, you know, we read about athletes, whether it's coming out of college or coming out of professional, they struggle with their identity. What suggestions would you have in terms of, you know, figuring out what's next, you know, finding that next passion or finding that next career landing spot to give them that sort of motivation to continue pursuing their next game?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, man. You know, I think one of the biggest things that athletes struggle with, and I did myself too, is a little bit of that imposter syndrome, right? You know, not feeling like we belong. You know, I do a lot of classroom presentations and specifically a couple with athletes. And, you know, I always ask the question, do they feel like that they have the level of experience necessary in order to be able to go into the professional world versus somebody else who maybe didn't play sports? And almost all of the time, they feel like they don't have the experience that, you know, really stacks up. And I actually think it's the opposite, right? I think the skills and the experiences that they learned, especially as a college athlete, might even be more impactful than somebody who had an internship or was a part of this, you know, XYZ club in school or whatever. Because of all of those skills, because of all of those experiences, you got to really look at yourself as somebody who is the best candidate as opposed to maybe even potentially not the best, right? And so as somebody's making that transition, go into it with confidence, man, because, you know, what you've experienced is going to be worthwhile as long as you are able to transfer those skills. But the only other thing I would add is, and, you know, obviously, if you're already out of your career athletically, this might not work. But for anybody that's still in it or in the beginning stages, man, be as proactive as you can to identify the fact that maybe sports isn't going to be your long term deal. And so when you got to hang them up, the more that you can do proactively to kind of prepare for that, the easier that transition is going to be when it's forced, because you do get smacked with reality real quick if you're not ready for it, you know. So whatever you can do to be ready, you know, be so. And then, you know, going back to the networking piece, if there is somebody who is currently struggling with that, do whatever you can to just meet as many people as possible, whether it be, you know, online, on LinkedIn, or, you know, in person, whatever the case may be, to just build your brand, man, because it's not who knows you. It's not who you know, it's who knows you, right? And so whatever you can to get your name out there is definitely something that's going to help that transition.
No, that's amazing. And I think, you know, obviously you coming from UNC, like I said before, a premier program for student athletes. You mentioned, you know, being proactive and getting your brand out there. What suggestions would you do if you can do it all over again, you know, coming out of UNC on the football squad?
Yeah.
Or what advice do you share with the people that you, you know, do your speaking engagements and workshops with?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things I just touched on actually kind of answers that question too, man, just in terms of putting yourself out there. I didn't do that, right? And so I was lucky enough that my pops, you know, again, kind of indirectly found enterprise and it turned out to be a long-term career for me. But, you know, when I was in college, I did utilize my career services. You know, I didn't go to career fairs. You know, I was, you know, even though I knew I wasn't going to make it to the league very quickly, I was just kind of like, man, I'm going to just figure it out, right? And I think one of the main things that I, you know, even though I say playing sports is super important and being able to showcase that you have a ton of skills, I think sometimes too, as athletes, we figure like, because we always been good at what we do, that we'll just figure it out, right? And so whatever you can do to really kind of spend time in your career services with your professors, with your advisors, again, network as much as possible, that's going to help that transition. Because when I was at UNC, I thought I wanted to go into coaching. And so I spent a lot of time, because I was on the scout team with football, I spent a lot of the time with like grad assistants and, you know, kind of the lowest level of what it means to be an entry point coach. And I just realized really quickly I didn't want to do that. And so I kind of had a year or two where it's like, all right, man, I wanted to play in the league. I know that's not going to happen. Now I want to coach because I love sports. I don't necessarily want to do the grind that that takes to get to where you want to go. And so, you know, in that year or so where I knew that I didn't want to do that, I didn't really do anything to figure out what I did want to do. I was just kind of still enjoying college. And so when you've identified, I need to make a pivot, whatever resources you have available at your disposal, utilize them, because at some point you're going to have to. And, you know, if I'd had that network at UNC physically still available to me, it might have made it that much easier for me to make that transition that first couple of years out of college.
No, most definitely. So, like, let's get into enterprise, because you spoke about the management training program. And my immediate reaction is like, all right, this is like preseason for, you know, athlete or like rookie training camp. And yeah. You go into the big league. So talk about the process, you know, specifically with enterprise, and any insight for, you know, a student athlete or an athlete that's going to become into the corporate space, what that might look like.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, you know, I call our management training program the best MBA program you could ever have, because we teach you how to run a business. And so, you know, we understand that people are going to come from different walks of life. We accept people with all majors. I was obviously an exercise and sports science major. And so, you know, if we have people that have that work ethic, that drive, that willingness to compete, but also have some customer service skills and some ability to relate to people, as long as you got a bachelor's degree in terms of that management training program, you know, you're definitely eligible. And so, you know, it teaches you how to run a business. And so I started as a management trainee. It's a customer service and sales role. And then, you know, I was able to kind of learn operations, learn some managerial concepts, some logistics, some finance, some operations, and, you know, grew based on my performance. And so, you know, I only spent a little less than a year as a management trainee, and then I got promoted to assistant manager. I was an assistant for a couple of years. I worked at three different locations over that time period, and then I was a branch manager, worked at four different locations, and then I got promoted to area manager overseeing seven stores. And so, you know, 5 years in, I'm running, you know, several large operations. And the reason I was able to do that is because of all of those skills they teach you. You know, and so if somebody comes into it with an open mind, they're going to have success. We only promote from within. So we are dependent upon people having success in order for the wheel to keep spinning, you know? And so this experience has been amazing for me personally and professionally, man, the amounts of skills I've been able to develop, but then the relationships I've been able to build, and obviously, you know, the quality of life I've been able to establish for me and my family has been amazing, man. So, you know, obviously Enterprise is an amazing company, but, you know, it's all about figuring out what you want to do. I think, you know, everybody asks like career goals, right? But the biggest question to ask, and I ask these in interviews, is, you know, what are you looking for in terms of your ideal day-to-day work environment, right? What type of atmosphere do you want to be in? And then not only that, but what's most important to you in terms of certain aspects of a job that's going to lead to like career fulfillment? Because I can say I want to be a coach long term, but then I realized the nuts and bolts of what really goes into it I didn't want to do. And so obviously people have their dream jobs or whatever they want to do long term, but take that aside and say, what type of atmosphere do I want to be in? What do I really want to gain from an experience? Because then that might open some doors that you never thought were out there, you know, and it might close some doors that maybe you realize that you're not interested in.
No, that's great advice. When it comes to like a business, obviously, is there any like principles within business that you think is mandatory for, you know, an athlete to learn? You know, obviously with NIL in place, with professional athletes looking into businesses, for athletes that are transitioning into the corporate space, what are some of the key principles or core values with any business that you think has helped?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, man, you got to make sure that you represent yourself the right way, right? And so we talk about personal branding. If you're dealing with business and you know, you're dealing with, you know, high dollar amounts and people's livelihoods and all of that, you know, it's real, right? It's game time. You talked about practice, spring training, all that. This is the lights is on. And so, you know, in business, man, you got to make sure that you always represent yourself the best way possible and, you know, represent your brand, you know, your family, right, your company, the way that you would want others to. I think that's first and foremost. And that goes to the relationship building, because life is about relationships. And in business, you know, everybody says it's about relationships. And so, again, if you're misrepresenting yourself and or not building the right relationships, you're not going to have sustainable success in business. You may have a great idea. You may have a great skill set. But if you don't know how to build relationships, it ain't going to go so far. Right. And so that relationship building, that understanding of representing yourself the right way is going to lead to some sort of sustainability. Because, again, no business is going to be profitable and, you know, create a great reputation and maintain that reputation if they don't have sustainable business practices and, you know, able ability to scale it too, right? Because, you know, the world we're in, man, everybody's coming up with something new, a new idea, a new way to operate in business, new companies in, you know, business lines that might already be established. I mean, if you look at the transportation industry, like the way it's evolved over the last, you know, 12 years since I've been with the company, it's crazy. And yeah. So you got to also have that adaptability too, right? That's going to be able to help that sustainability. So, you know, you say update your resume, right? The sports term, same concept in business, man. You got to continue to update your skill set, your resume, and your understanding of what is going to drive the future. Because we got to evolve. If COVID didn't teach us anything, man, it told us to evolve. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So. No, most definitely. You mentioned relationship building, and obviously as athletes, whether you're in college or professional, you're able to get in front of doors. And obviously you in the enterprise role, you're in front of a lot of businesses, a lot of consumers, a lot of customers. What is your one like relationship building hack?
That's a great question. I think you got to put yourself out there, man. You know, I'm not really like a reader. I don't really have a lot of books to like, kind of throw out there to market for people. I think the biggest thing about building relationships is doing it, right? You know, practice. I say practice doesn't make perfect, but it makes prepared. And so whatever you can do to go out there and put yourself out there, whether it be structured networking events, or even if it's just like going out and talking to people at the grocery store, right? Like the more conversations you have with people from different walks of life, the easier it's going to be for you to build relationships going forward, right? And so it's easy for me to identify with somebody that's in the same demographic that I'm in and maybe build a relationship. It's easy to go to a networking event where everybody is there to build relationships. It's a lot more difficult to go up to somebody who's completely different than me demographically, who visibly I might not have anything in common with, and be able to strike up conversation and build relationships. And so rather than waiting until when you're forced to do that, especially if you're in some sort of like business or customer service role, go out and proactively do it. Literally just put yourself out there. But, you know, you can practice by yourself, right? You can video yourself in terms of maybe giving your elevator pitch. You know, there's tons of resources online, you know, that you can access as well to help, you know, learn that relationship building piece. But putting yourself out there and then being genuine and authentic, I think is key. And then the last thing is after you've built that relationship, that follow up and the ability to then be that same person, right? Because again, we don't want, you know, to project some sort of image and then we switch it up whenever time comes. So as you are fostering that relationship personally or professionally, be the same person. Again, you need to evolve in terms of whatever skills and experiences you have, but to the core, you got to be the same person, because it's easy to see when somebody isn't always being genuine or when they switch up over time too, you know?
No, that's a good one, you know, switching up over time. All right, let's get into the, you know, financial literacy. Obviously, you know, we're at the Athletes Unite conference with Shakeout. You spoke a little bit about the financial trajectory of someone that climbs up the ranking with enterprise. And I think a lot of times when athletes think it's like, oh, there's only one pathway to make, you know, make it to the top of the mountain. And that's not the case. So for you, you know, coming into the situation that you came into, how was your financial literacy and what some things that you wish you knew, you know, coming out of UNC that led you to enterprise?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll try to keep a long, long, long story short. I kind of stumbled upon having a really good credit score. And so when my freshman year, I was like just going to the CAF, and there was some people out there with Citi cards that were like having like people sign up like applications for credit. And I signed one and they sent me two credit cards. And long story short, I maxed them out, right? And so, you know, one of the biggest things that I learned, and my dad actually taught me this after I called him and was like, yo, I got this debt and I don't got no money to pay it. I learned about the ability to transfer balance, and I also learned about the understanding of credit worthiness and how to build your amount of credit, right? And the whole, you know, debt to credit ratio and all of that stuff, and the amount of credit cards you have and credit accounts you have. And so long story short, like I realized that actually the answer to my problems kind of indirectly was to get more credit availability where I could maybe transfer some of the balances that I had without having to pay interest as I'm continuing to grow my credit worthiness. And long story short, I ended up getting a couple of other credit cards, transferring balances, paid it down without interest. To when I graduated from college, I actually didn't really have any debt. And I had four or five credit cards that now had open amounts of credit and zero balances. And so I think I learned a valuable lesson of being able to have great credit doesn't mean you need to be fearful of credit cards. It doesn't mean that you need credit. It means that you need credit. You just need to be smart with it, if that makes sense. And so that's something that happened. And then, you know, I was able to start to understand the value of actually having different sources of credit too, right? Because initially I just had credit cards, but then, you know, I bought a car and then I bought a house and, you know, was able to just do so many things that now to lenders, it made it look much more appealing as me as a person. And then obviously you got to pay those bills on time. And so now I've got a great credit score. You know, we've able to, you know, to build like investment properties and, you know, we're trying to do whatever we can to create that generational wealth for my family. And so I credit my father and I credit a little bit of making a mistake and kind of fixing that to, you know, me being able to have some success. But again, it's the same thing that I go back to with the relationship building and the putting yourself out there is there's tons of information online. Yeah, of course, you want to vet it to make sure it's coming from the right sources. But whether you can, whether you're a reader, whether you listen to podcasts, whether you watch TV shows, whether you watch the news, or whether you learn from other people's experiences, there's so many different people and resources out there for you to learn about what makes sense for you. Because being financially literate isn't the same for everybody, right? You know, there's some people who may be really heavy into stocks. I'm not really that way. I've got some investments, but not a lot, right? Obviously, 401k and retirement plans are huge. But the point is that whatever makes sense for you is what you need to figure out first and foremost, and then you attack it. And then as you're starting to grow and become an expert in what you're doing, whatever lane it is, now you can start to diversify and figure out more ways to create that financial freedom.
No, that's what it's all about. And then for anyone, you know, as we come to a close, is there any financial lesson that you would, you know, share with the audience or like favorite financial quote or like financial principle that you live by?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is you got to have a budget, right? And you got to make sure that your budget, whatever your income is versus your expenses, leaves for some ability to save, right? So I won't put a number on. I know there's a lot of numbers out there when they say you should save a certain amount versus your income, you know, tying it to your car payment or your house payment or whatever. I would say start small, right? Everybody comes in it at different, you know, financial flexibility points of life, you know, coming out of college. But whatever you can do to save immediately, that's the first thing. And the easiest way to do that, right, is by doing a budget and cross-referencing with whatever your expenses are and being able to see what you have available. And if for whatever reason your expenses are outweighing your income, you got to figure out a way to pivot ASAP, right? And then getting into the retirement piece is huge. And there's different sources, whether it be IRA or 401k or whatever the case may be. Being able to not only save and like put your money into banks, but being able to save it and put it into something that's going to grow. Because again, that's going to be huge from a standpoint of your money, not just sitting. And the only other thing I will say is that with being able to create financial freedom, you got to have income, right? Whatever that income generation is. And so whether you have an entrepreneurial spirit or you have an intrapreneurial spirit or, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever your income is, whether it's one or multiple, figuring out a way to maximize it, maximize your talents, because, you know, it takes money to make money. And so whatever you can do to build your ability to make money and then be smart on the end and not unnecessarily spending it. And, you know, we have trouble with that coming straight out of college. Whatever we can to keep our money is what's going to lead to that real financial freedom long term. And the one other thing I'll add, just that's kind of financial and career driven, is that if and when you're looking for a career, yes, whatever you're making immediately matters, but it matters more what you're making 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. And so as long as you can afford whatever the salary is that you're given, if it's a career that gives you escalation in salary, that's better long term than a career that might have a little bit more money immediately, but might not necessarily lead to that financial growth and sustainability. And so think about the long game as opposed to the short game. You got to focus on the short, but it's more important about the long game.
No, I love that. And I think that's a great way to end. Real quick, obviously, you know, Enterprise does a great job for, you know, athletes and individuals that are looking for a career. In closing, athletes, you know, there's so many different ways. Why corporate? Why Enterprise?
Go. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, man, like I said, I lucked into this, man. So my pops and I talk often that he always is kind of trying to take credit for my career. And I'm like, man, you got me in the door, but I had to navigate through the world. So, you know, but I mean, it's been an amazing professional and personal journey for me that has gotten me to, you know, again, that financial flexibility that I'm talking about, you know, and I'm 36. I've been with the company, you know, 12 and a half years. You know, I've got obviously my main income, but then again, I'm, you know, into investment properties at this point and, you know, doing whatever we can to build that generational wealth. And that's all been made possible by Enterprise, not only from a standpoint of my paycheck, but then the skills that I've developed that have helped me personally and professionally, right? And so, you know, when I say I've been promoted 11 times in 12 and a half years, like that's real live, like 11 promotions. And each one of those came with more money. Some came with greater, you know, advancement of money than others, but all of them resulted in more money. And, you know, I spent almost 10 years in North Carolina. I spent a little over a year in Oregon and now overseeing the Tampa St. Pete market. You know, I've been able to build so many relationships that are longstanding. I met my wife through Enterprise, you know, when we were management trainees together, and I've built mentor relationships with people that are ahead of me. You know, and been able to be resources to me. And now I've been able to pay it down generation to generation and impact others and be mentors to them. And so, you know, income, relationships, quality of life, and then overall job satisfaction. I like to say you can change careers without changing companies because in enterprise, we have so many different long-term career paths, right? And so everybody knows Enterprise Rent a Car, but we also have Alamo and National, and we have Enterprise Truck Rental and Car Sales and Remarketing and Fleet Management. There's literally over a dozen different revenue and non-revenue generated business lines that all have distinctly different day-to-days. And so I obviously oversee talent acquisition. So the point is that there's a lot of options. You just got to go get it, you know, and if you do that, you're going to be happy about it.
No, that's what it's all about. If anyone would like to connect with you, how can they do so?
So real easy, LinkedIn. You can just type in Justin Henderson Enterprise. It'll pull up. You know, you can email me. I'll share my email at some point with everybody. But you know, whether it be LinkedIn, my email, you can also just check our career site, careers.enterprise.com, and that would get you to the overall career site. But then you can search it by location, and you can meet with me if it's obviously in Tampa. But then anybody else in my position, all over the world, right? We're in 100 countries, and so if somebody's going to be, you know, going abroad, that's working as well. But you know, if you can connect with me, and then I can easily get you to whoever it is you need to go to based on your location. But I would love to chat further. I appreciate the platform, man.
This is what it's all about. Thank you so much, Justin, for taking the time. There you have it, folks. Someone that has been a student athlete and shown you that there is a pathway to success, financial success, health success, mental success, transition success. I think we don't see enough of these stories. So Justin, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. We're going to have all the information in the show notes. Enterprise is hiring. And if you're a student athlete, professional athlete that's looking for a transition that's going to show you the pathway, definitely look into it. Justin, really appreciate you for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. See you guys soon.
Thank you for tuning into this podcast episode. For more information, check out the show notes and go to our website, www.afrugalathlete.com. If you enjoyed, please leave a favorable rating and review and share and subscribe. Thank you so much.